Okay, today's mitzvah is mitzvah Kuf Nun Vav, mitzvah 156. Those who have been following along, we've had a couple of months break, but Baruch Hashem, we pick up today in the middle of Parsha Shmini. If we pick up, just to remember, we're in the middle of many mitzvahs related to Kashrus. We spoke about a number of the mitzvahs Asay already. We did not finish. The Rambam and the Chinuch following him counts mitzvahs Asay of checking to make sure things are kosher. Bedika Kufnun Gimel, the Chinuch counted the Bedika of Simani Behema Vachaya to make sure that there are kosher signs on animals, besides the Isser of not eating a non-kosher animal. The Ramban cannot fathom that that would be a separate mitzvah, that you have to check. The Isser mitzvah is not to eat treif. You have to check that it's kosher. That's a separate mitzvah asay. The Rambam says yes. The Chinuch says yes. But the Ramban argues. In Kuf Nun Hei, in the previous mitzvah, we had the mitzvah asay of checking the simanim of dagim. Today we have the Isser of not eating non-kosher fish. Then we'll get into birds, and we'll get into grasshoppers in the coming days. But this is all related to Parsha Shmini in Perek Yud, which is one of the more lengthy discussions of kashrus in the Torah. The Torah tells us in Shishi, Perek Yud Aleph, I'm sorry. Just to review, since it's been a couple of weeks since we last met, the Torah gives all the rules and regulations of kashrus. The Torah first goes through behemas and chayos, where the Torah says, kol mafreses parshav shosah shesa prasos, split hooves, ma'alas gera, chewing its cud, osatochelu. Those are the animals that one can eat, and if it is missing one or the other, one cannot eat it. Today we're discussing the next one. The next on the list are fish. Pasuk Tes. The Pasuk tells us, Ezetochlu mikol asher b'mayim, kol asher lo snapirvikas keses b'mayim, bayamu vanchalim osamtochelu. Anything that has fins and scales, we know those are the two kosher signs that a fish has. V'chol she'en lo snapirvikas keses, if it does not have fins and scales, so then one is not allowed to eat it. That is the source of today's mitzvah. What does the Pasuk say in Pasuk Yud Aleph? V'sheketz yulachem. If it does not have fins and scales, it should be an abomination to you. It should be a sheketz. Mi b'saram lo sochelu, do not eat from their flesh. Ve'eth nivlasam tishaketsu. And their nevela, their dead bodies, tishaketsu, you shall make disgusting. Meaning you should keep away from it. We'll get back to that lashon soon. But again, just to, since we did the last mitzvah, I found one more hosafa on the on something that we said in the last mitzvah, which relates to this mitzvah, so let me just repeat it. The Bali Musar pointed out, what's the symbolism of the two sides of a fish? Fins and scales. Why dafka those two? So he mentioned back in the previous mitzvah, in Kufnun Vav, scales protect the fish itself. Fins help the fish go further and swim further. In life, a Jew can't just protect themselves where they are. They have to constantly be moving further and moving farther and swimming, not just treading water. Scales help it tread water and stay protected, while fins help it move more. That's why kosher fish has to have both. It's got to have the fins, and it has to have the scales, both of those. That was the ha'ar that we said from the Yagdol Torah in the previous mitzvah. But we also pointed out, based on Chazal, look back at the previous mitzvah in the mitzvah Kuf Nun Hei, v'kol she'nimsa bo kaskeses, in the middle of Kuf Nun Hei, Chazal said that any fish that has scales, v'yafilo achas, v'kol was at his karim, ein sorach livdok im yishlo snapir. If it has scales, you know for sure it has fins. There is no fish out there that has scales and not fins. Right, it has to have, if it has scales, if there are some that have fins, they don't have scales. But if it has scales, so then it, you know for sure that it has fins. If that's true, we mentioned then, why do there two kosher signs? Just have the sign of scales. Because if it has scales, then you know it automatically always has fins. If it has fins, it always needs scales anyways, just have one sign. So the Gemara in Nida says, L'hagdol Torah l'hadir. Oh, you're right. L'hagdol Torah l'hadir. So to give you something to learn about, what does that mean? So we mentioned that a couple of pshatim of what that means, but it basically means, you're right, there's no lemaisa ramification for this, but it's all about the beauty of Torah, and you learn messages from this, even if it's not lemaisa needed. But just to add one point onto that, that came up in the Daf Yomi last week, those learning the Daf have heard me say this, and that is that, that in the Magalias HaShas, in Chul, and Daf Samach Vav, it says maybe that's another reason why the minhag is to eat fish on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a day that we sit back and we study Torah Lashma, and maybe that's why dafka fish, because fish has this unique halacha that's not needed. It's a halacha that you don't need. So what's the purpose of this halacha? Talmud Torah Lashma. Even if I don't need it, it's Lashma, and that's what I'm going to remember if I focus on why I'm eating the fish. That's what the Magalias HaShas says. Shebedini adogim nechlav davar she'eino b'shul halacha l'maisa. Rak b'shul lima Torah. L'chein b'shabes she'ish lo shaychus l'Torah, mishtalim l'harus is koach ha'Torah. We try to do an act in certain ways that is shows our love for Torah. So we learn something that has no ramification for us, but dafka, so that we get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's just a hosafa to the last mitzvah. You can still have hosafas 2 months after you do something. And now we go on to the additional mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah Kufnu and Vav. Okay, so let's read it now. Shalalechol dag tamei. Isur daraisa, not to eat non-kosher fish. Meaning the isur of eating non-kosher fish. Says the chinuch. Shalalechol dag tamei. Shene'emar mi besaram lo sochelu, ve'es nivlasam tishaketsu. Do not eat their flesh, and their nevela you shall disgust, meaning keep away from you. The Simani Dagim, we already wrote earlier. He calls it Beis because in the old Chinuchs, they had all the Mitzvahs Aseh of a Parsha listed first and all the Mitzvahs Lois Aseh. We have it in order, all of them mixed up. But really, it's the previous Mitzvah. Shehi lived up with Simani Dagim, Shechashavnu min Aminyin, that we counted L'chvod HaRav Rabbeinu Moshe Zechorno Levracha. Remember, the Chinuch was not happy about counting the Mitzvahs Aseh of checking for kosher signs. He thought logically the Ramban makes a lot of sense. Right? Why should there be a separate mitzvah to check? There's an isser to eat animals or fish without the kosher signs. There's a separate mitzvah, I say, one of the 613 to check. So the chinuch says, I counted it, I was covered for the Rambam. But not that I really agree with the Rambam. Period. Stop there for a minute. It's an amazing diuk that it's an obvious diuk, but the Aznayim Latar makes it right here. By all other, by people, by animals, we have tumas nevela. When a person dies, it's not available, but when a person dies, that's the greatest tumah that there can be, tumas meis. When an animal dies, kosher or non-kosher, it becomes a nevela if it dies without getting shechted. It's a nevela, and there's tumas nevela. And that's why, by all the other ones, for example, in the previous pasuk on pasuk ches, when it talks about animals, mi besarim lo sochelu, ubenevlasam lo tigau. Don't touch their nevela. Even by dead birds, dead birds also give off tumah in a special way, which Ezra will talk about, and that is if somebody eats a nevela sa'of, special type of tumah. But either way, this tumah there, this is the only one. What did our pasuk say? What happens to nevela? That's nivlasam tishaketsu. Keep it away from you. But there's no tumas nevela. Why not? Why is there tumah when it comes to a dead person and a dead behema or chaya or a dead oaf? But there's no tumah by a dead fish. No problem. If I touch a dead fish, I can eat a carbon in 5 minutes later. If I touch a nevela, I have to wait till sunset. I have to go to the mikvah. Right? So why is it by a dead fish? Why is it does it not contract tumah? So the Zayin LaTorah has two ideas. He says, first of all, maybe the point is water is the source of tahara. Whenever you have to become tar, you go to the mikvah. And you have to go to the ocean. That's the symbol. The symbol of tahara is water. So maybe brios, creatures from water, can't have tumah because they come from the makor tahara. Number one says, Lazanayim LaTorah. Shelo gozra Torah tumah al davar agadol biyamum v'rachalim. V'yein zeh domo l'tumah v'sher esbiyat. Why? He says, because ki hamayim hametarim kol tumah. Right? Because that's the source. Number one. Then he quotes something more Kabbalistic. You got to do more research on this. But he quotes, V'komi shehanefesh gedola yoser rafsa hatashuka shalachitzonim lizdavid beguf achre bisaso. The more holy and spiritual an item is, the more tumah there is there. That's why a Jew has the highest level of tumah. Someone who is from the Umos Olam don't have the level of tumah. But even animals have a certain soul. Explains Azayim Latar, we've discussed this in the past, from the Ramban, from others, that there's a certain type of nefesh that animals have. They don't have a neshama, but they have a certain type of soul. So all animals, explains the Azayim Latar, have these types of souls, and therefore, once they die, so then there's tumah, because there's a vacuum there, and that's where there's tumah created. Fish don't have any souls. That's what he says based on other Kabbalistic sources. And if it doesn't have a soul, so the greater they are, the harder they fall. The more kadosh they are, so then that creates tumah. But if there's no potential, if there's no nefesh there, so that's why tumah might not be created. That's what he says at the end. V'kiva she'ein l'briyos hamayim afilu nitzot shel neshama ein achitzonim misdavkim b'nevelasam v'lo shayach b'en tumah mamish ela sheketz. It's only sheketz. It's disgusting to stay away from it. But it's not tameh. Okay, so that is the important ha'ara about a dead fish. Continuing, Mishar Shia Mitzvah. Again, a lot of this is what we've had already, so we're going to have to add on new ideas. Masha Kasab Nolamana Benyin Nesor Ma'achalos. Not eating non kosher fish relates to everything I've said already about not eating items that are not kosher. Shehakel Barachu Hirchik Me'amo Komasha Nezek Nimsabo. Hashem told us all items He knows. He, as the Chinuch said, is the greatest doctor. He's the only doctor with a capital D. And even if we don't understand why something might not be good for us, whether it's physically not good for us, whether it's spiritually not good for us, either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and therefore we follow those laws. Hein behema ob of o dagim and atam sha'amarnu sham. Dini ha-mitzvah kasabna lamala gamkim in b'chulin paragimel. All the halachas of the mitzvah, chulin paragimel. Daf Yomi, we just finished that. Elu Treifus, all the law, the second half of Elu Treifus, is all about the kosher and the non-kosher animals. So there it describes all the signs of a kosher fish. V'nohagas b'chol makom u'v'chol zman b'zecharim u'minikavis. And this Isser applies always, men, women, all times. Interesting, just derech agav, we discussed also in the daf, in the last daf in Eilu Treifus, the Gemara says that the Levyasun is a dag tahor. It's a big discussion of the Akronim, what I have thought otherwise. Hashem with Levyasun is the fish that Hashem is going to bring to the tzaddik of Yibos HaMashiach, the big Leviathan fish. So what, is there a Havarina that Hashem would feed non-kosher fish to the tzaddikim? The Gemara has to tell us the Levyasun is a kosher fish. So the Achronim struggle. The Maritz Chai is there, says, it's a Horasha. Yeah, could be. Once in a while, if he needs such a big fish to serve, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do what he wants. But Pashas, they say, no, it's a kosher fish, and that's why he could serve it. So that wouldn't be included in this Easter. The overall of Achol Kazayis B'daktami, if somebody eats a Kazayis from a non-kosher fish, B'mezid Loke B'shogeg Putter. On purpose, Malkus B'shogeg Putter. Okay, one small point and then two larger points that relate to this aver. First of all, the Rambam. It's an important Rambam, Menuchos Ma'acholos Asuros. The Rambam says, what about eggs of fish? Somebody eats eggs of fish. Sometimes there are certain dishes that serves for, right, the eggs of fish, just like you have the discussion of if somebody eats a non-kosher egg from a non-kosher bird, an egg from a non-kosher fish. Is it the same avera of eating a non-kosher fish? If you find eggs, so the Rambam says, Af al pi shechalav behema tameya u beitze ov tame asur min haTorah. Even though milk of a non-kosher animal, drinking camel's milk is an avera, right? Eating eggs of a vulture is an isu daraisa. All of those ain lokin aleim. Says the Rambam, you don't get malchus. This is a controversial Rambam because it's learned out from a pasuk. Right, anything that comes out, the milk and the eggs, the Rambam says, though, you don't get malchus. It's an issa d'oraisa, but you don't get malchus. And then he has a comparison. V'harei ha'ochel osan ka'ochel chatzi shir shu aser min haTorah. It's just like eating half a kezias of something, which we know, we've mentioned many times in these shirim. It's aser d'oraisa, but you don't get the punishment. If I eat half a kezias of treif, if I eat half a kezias of a cheeseburger, right, half a kezias, it's an issa d'oraisa, but you're not going to get punished. You know, okay. So makas marzis, you get rabbinic lashes. But that's the Rambam shita. If somebody eats milk of a non-kosher animal or eggs of a non-kosher bird, issa d'oraisa, but no malchus. Then the Rambam adds what's related to us yearly. It appears to me, and we know whenever the Rambam says yearly, not based on any sources. He's saying this is from his own svara. Yirali, shehaochel beitzei dagim tmeyin hanimsa'in b'me'ehen. If somebody eats eggs, let's say you catch a fish, and inside the fish are eggs that it was going to lay. Ka'ochel kirvei dagim lokam b'tatorah. That's doraisa. The Mefarshim explain what's the difference. It depends if the eggs are inside the animal. As long as an egg is inside an animal, it's considered part of the animal. If I eat an egg of a non-kosher fish, from the inside of the kosher fish, from this of the non-kosher fish, I'm going to get malchus for that. It's as if I'm eating the non-kosher fish. Once it's laid, it's daraisa, and then it's not going to be malchus. But that's an important ha'ara, that the principle of hayotze min hatame, anything that goes out of something that is not kosher is also not kosher. Anything that comes out of milk or eggs, it goes by. If the mother's kosher, then these are kosher. If the mother's not kosher, then these aren't kosher. The Rambam says, but if you find them inside the animals, then it could have the same status as the animal itself. Okay, two halachic discussions related to this. One is not found in the Torah. It is found in the Gemara, though. The Gemara in Psachim Daf Ayin Vav tells us something about fish. Not the Aveira of eating non-kosher fish, but there is an ancient din d'Rabbanan, from Psachim. The Gemara says in Daf Ayin Vav, Hahi beinasei da'atvi bahadi bisra, fish that was roasted with meat, Asra Rava mi parzika lemechle b'kutcha. Rava asserd the fish to be eaten with milk. Mar bar avashi amar, afil ba milchanami asura, bishim tekashya lerecha uledavar acher. This is the source for the halacha that we know of eating fish and meat. There is an ancient going back, way back, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it beferish, right? We don't eat fish and meat together. This is an outgrowth. We're discussing this here because we're talking about certain types of fish that are prohibited. This has nothing to do with the Din Daraisa. But this is the place to discuss it. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yoredeh Sibin Kufta Tezayin, Tzarech li zoher shelolecho basar vidug biyachad. One is not allowed to eat meat and fish. That's why whenever you set the table, you put out a fish fork and you put out a meat fork. Why? Because the halacha goes back to the Shulchan Aruch. We don't eat fish and meat together. Why? Why not? So Gemara said, Davar Acher. What's Davar Acher? Rashi right there, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, Bepesha Kashe with Saras. It's going to lead you to get Saras, which I will not translate as leprosy, because it's not modern leprosy. It's the disease of Saras that we know from Parshas Tazria Mitzorah, which we'll get to in a little bit. But that's the halacha quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and the poskim say that even though certain halachos do not apply today, because the reason does not apply, a minority type of halachos, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says, the halacha of mayim gluyim, leaving open water, drinking water that was left overnight, which the Gemara says is not allowed to be drunk because maybe a snake came by and deposited some venom into the water, the Shulchan Aruch says, bizman hazeh, that doesn't apply, because nechashim are not matzui beinenu. If somebody lives in a place where nechashim are matzui, are common, then you have to be worried about it. But the Shulchan Aruch already says that halacha doesn't apply. How could the Shulchan Aruch say that? Don't we know the usual rule? Even if the reason doesn't apply, the law still applies? The answer is, by a small group of laws, the Rishonim already understood it as this was only made under these conditions even originally. And therefore, built in is the reason. Most laws, the reason is not built in. Right? Taking medicine on Shabbos, because the grinding medicine. That reason is not built in, even though the reason doesn't apply anymore at all. The halacha applies. But, mayim gluyim, leftover water overnight, so, mikra din, the Shulchan Aruch says, it is no problem. The Gra argues, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Here, the Shulchan Aruch does not say that. He just quotes the halacha. Meaning, this is the halacha, bizman hazeh, eating meat and fish together, and this is what 99% of the poskim say, that this is what the halacha that we follow, bizman hazeh. Sefer, what do you have to do? So what do you have to do between meat and fish, right? We all have fish, the first course, and then meat. Or let's say you go to a kiddush, right? The fish is always on a separate table. It's not next to the chalent and the kishka. It's not there. Why? Because of this halacha. Because of this halacha, not eating fish and meat together. If somebody, the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody's going to eat meat and fish together, they have to wash their hands in between. Why don't many of us get up and wash our hands in between? Because we have forks. If our hands have fish on it, then it could be that we have to wash our hands. But the Achronim point out that halacha Shulchan Aruch, so we're not worried about fish on the hands because, we use silverware and we're not going to have it on our hands. But there are very important Lamaisa discussions about fish and meat. I was not allowed to cook fish and meat in the same oven at the same time. Right? This the sugya of Recha Milsa and Recha La Milsa. If it's the same time. So, different opinions. Some say, is this like, what about Basar B'chalav? Is this like Basar B'chalav? Is this like worse than Basar B'chalav? Is it more mekel than Basar B'chalav? We're not talking about Isur Mia. We're talking about some type of Sakana. So there's a Machlok as Achronim about that. Or, for example, is there Bittel? Is there Bittel? We know usually Isurim can be Batel in Heter. Isern is batal beheter. What about stavar mishum sakana? This is like, it's going to cause saras. What if a little fish falls into a huge pot of chicken soup? Or meat, let's say, it's only by meat. Is it batal? Could you go by shishim? Could you go by 60? So that also is a machlokas. Huge nafkamina. Example is Worcester sauce. Worcester sauce, which many like to have on their barbecues, has a little fish in it. So the question is, are you allowed to do that? So the OU's policy, at least a couple of years ago, last time I checked, was if it's less than 1.67%, so then it's batel and they just write OU on it. If it's more than 1.67%, they write OU fish. And therefore, that's an issue of having it with meat because of this halacha. But they hold the principle that there is bitel, you just got to have a lot of other ingredients to be mevatelit. But again, that is many, many halachas related to the fish and meat. But that's not an outgrowth of this, but this is the mitzvah to talk about it by non-kosher fish. Just one other halacha discussion I wanted to mention, also discussed here. This one can be talked about by two or three, and that is the Minchas Asher right here in Parsha Shmini on this on this mitzvah. He says he was asked, right, a couple of years ago, which is this made a lot of the news, the Minchas Asher here in Simin Tezayin in Shmini. Let me just find the beginning of it. B'she'elas hashratzim b'mayim b'New York. Right? The bugs in the water in New York. So we're talking about shirtzei hamayim. Things floating around in the water. So a couple of years ago, this was a hot topic. Exactly. The cocoa pods and all the different items that might be floating in the water. R'she'elas rabbi me'achede b'nei Yisrael shokhli ha'ir agdola New York. I got the shayla. Are you allowed to drink the water without filtering it? Umatsu b'mayim yitzurim ze'irim b'kamuz gadola. They found a lot of these little bugs. Hineni b'tshuva k'tzar l'varaz yin l'nei azdaiti. I'll write a little answer, even though I didn't want to, because let the Gdolim of New York take care of it. What are they asking me for? But I was asked by a lot of my friends and my talmidim, so I'll write what I believe. And he goes through the issues of, does one, this isn't non-kosher fish, but this is shrutzim floating in the water. Do you have to be worried about it? So, number of issues. Number one, could you see them without a microscope or not? That's step number one, because Rova Poskim assume if you need a microscope to see something, so then it's not considered there halachically. And you don't have to worry about it. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. This is a well-known Aruch HaShulchan in this discussion. Simen Pei Dalet Sif Lamed Vav. Yesh Bishakasav. B'shem Chachmei HaTeva. Tamas Kachel B'schuchis HaMagdeles. If somebody looks through a microscope, Schuchis HaMagdeles, or magnifying glass. Shekorin Spektive. Right, yire bechometz mali talam. You'll see in vinegar there are worms floating around in all the vinegars. Vehine bechometz. Yeah, right. If they say if you would have microscopes in the air, there's germs floating around in the air all the time. But the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that, and you know they're too small for us to worry about. And he says you need all of these special mirrors and lenses to see it. Ubi aldusi shemati bi pi echad shahib merchakim v'ra derech zechuchas amagdelas an ma'od berivavos pamayim b'mayim kol mini bruim ulufize echanu shosim mayim. How do we drink it? So he says ha'ms delo asra tar b'mash ina ayin shol let this bow. If your eye can't see it, don't worry about it. It doesn't mean if somebody has a very, very bad vision, they can't see it. They don't have to worry about it. But it means if the average eye cannot see it, don't worry about it. The problem was by these bugs in the water, a lot of them could be seen without a magnifying glass. It just depended on the background. They blended into the water. But if you put it with the right background, you'd be able to see it. So that's why the post had a whole discussion then, what are the percentages, how much does one have to be worried about it. But again, this is he comes out at the end, l'chumra, that you should have a filter because, until you know otherwise, and that's why many put in filters at that time. But I'm not getting into what the Psak Halach is. One should ask their local Rav about it, because these bugs also, he mentions, they're good to keep the reservoirs clean. They're good for the ecology. So that's why the government doesn't worry about them there. But what about the halachas? That's what he talks about here, the shrutzim in the mayim. Again, that relates, it's an outgrowth of this mitzvah of not eating non-kosher fish. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Shall we continue tomorrow with our discussion of not eating non-kosher birds, Mel Hashem, we will get into the sugya of eating turkey. That'll be part of tomorrow's, the next mitzvah shir.